All right. 2 Peter 1. Get him, Jonas. Praise the Lord. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. And like what we were talking about last night in the Bible study, which was a wonderful sitting outside around the campfire. That was good. 2 Peter chapter 1. There had to be somebody come to a position that they could tell us how to have faith, how to have virtue, how to have knowledge, how to have temperance. And what better person than Peter, who had a problem with all that when Jesus was here? But then what about a great, where Peter says, I was on the mountain with the Lord, I saw the transfiguration, I saw this, I walked with the Lord, I walked here, I did this. But now I have a more sure word of prophecy, because it wasn't just Jesus talking to him anymore, it was Jesus inside of him talking out. And we believe the Holy Ghost is inside of us speaking out. Not just Jesus somewhere. We know there's a physical Jesus somewhere. But he said, I'll send back the Comforter in my Father's name. Well, who is his Father? God. God's not a name. This is a God. This is a God. This could be a God. India, there's 3 million gods. G-O-D-S. That's just a title. That's just an object of worship. So what was the Father's name? Jesus. There was no other name God ever had except Jesus Christ. All right? Or you got two gods. So we see that Peter came up and said, now I have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, it wasn't secondhand information. And that's what we're dealing with now. We're not dealing with secondhand information. Sure, we have to get it from a minister. We have to get it from each other. But it's God doing the speaking. If Paul says we must have the mind of Christ, then he was lying if we didn't. And we know he wasn't lying, because it's in the Holy Word and it's eternal. So we are in the positive mind of God. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. He didn't say we're going to have. He said we have the mind of Christ. All right? So to have the mind of Christ is to have Christ speaking out. Remind me of that. I'll postpone that for a minute. But now we're looking at the stature of a perfect man, and our title is Live Me a Sermon. Because that's what that is. So now Peter with the Holy Ghost, he didn't take out a physical sword like he did and cut the ear off of the man. He's taking a spiritual sword and doing the work. Right? It says now we're going to take the sword of the word, and I'm going to teach you how to become, because look, all the things Peter went through, all the adversity Peter went through, but on the day of Pentecost, who was the first man that walked out the door and said, hey, this is that. That one 30-minute sermon converted 3,000 people and filled them with the Holy Ghost. Now, it didn't fill them with the Holy Ghost like Peter had it, because Peter had walked with God himself for 3.5 years. And God was sitting there teaching them these virtues. They were watching what Jesus was doing. Right? Because he's the very stature of a perfect man, the only perfect man there ever was. But you know what? He didn't stay the only perfect man. Because remember, he wants sons just like him. What would a father? A father wants a son to be just like him. All right? So he wants us to be like him, so he gave us the ability through the Holy Ghost. Not an anointing, not something that just comes by and anoints you every once in a while, but a filling to where when you walk down the road, that's God walking down the road. We got to get to that point. Like Daddy said last night, we got to get to the point to where God's not over yonder somewhere. Even Moses said that. Moses said, God's not over the sea. God's not over here where you got to. No, he's nigh thee. Nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith we preach. All right? So that's what we're doing now is, yeah, you got to hear it from a preacher, because the Bible says in Ephesians, right, the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to perfect the saints. So you got to hear it through a fivefold ministry, a ministry of five different offices, some in teaching, some in preaching, some in evangelism, missionary work, through those five offices, God speaks to us. But you know what we have to do? We have to take that what's inside of us and agree with it or disagree with it. Okay? So it works both ways. It doesn't work just God's going to get... No, it works both ways. Because remember, Paul and James are not fighting each other as far as works and faith. Your works is your faith expressed. Okay? So you got to have faith. You got to have faith. Down here at the bottom, you got to have faith. Big, wide foundation. Faith covers a lot of things. And that's what we're going to read today. We're going to read in 2 Peter, and then we're going to turn over to Hebrews 11. So let's read 2 Peter and just get a basis of what's going on here, and then we'll read a few quotes from the prophet. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. All right, so he's not talking to a sinner. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to the President of the United States. He's talking to you. If you're born again, if you have obtained this same faith that he has, he's talking to you. Okay? All right? Excuse me. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness, not Peter's righteousness, not yours, but through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Look at all these multiplied and abound. Peter's telling them, said, hey, man, if you get what I got, you're just going to overflow. Because remember what I said about Peter. Peter goes to the gate beautiful. He does not have enough money to pay for that lame man to go to the doctor. I was telling him last weekend at Brother Burley's, he went up to the guy and got, he went, I'm poor fisherman. I ain't got no money. I ain't got a dollar to give you. Well, that's what he said. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. In other words, I don't have the ability to pay for you to go to the doctor. But such as I have. He didn't have to go get it. He didn't have to go pray for it. He didn't have to go ask the priest for it. He had it. Such as I have, give I to thee. Well, what is that? That's virtue. That strength. That man drew strength from what Peter was saying. And Peter had it already. He had faith in what he spoke would happen. Now, that's the way you and I are going to have to be. Not like popping popcorn. We're not going to go out and, like I say, every time you walk by somebody, they're going to get healed. But you know what? These people that were in that time, the Bible says they would walk down the street and the lame that was sitting beside the road when the shadow passed them. Now, it wasn't the shadow. It wasn't the shadow that healed them. It was the faith they had in the people walking by because they saw virtue. They saw knowledge. They saw temperance. In other words, they were able to draw off of what those people already had. Not what they were going to get, what they already had. All right? So grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power. I like that word divine. There's not a lot of things divine on this earth. They may call it divine this and divine that. There's nothing divine on this earth. All right? Except me and you if we're born again. We get the divine nature of God, then you're makes. Well, I don't think we're close enough yet. According as his divine power hath given unto us a gift. Given unto us. All things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. So this is life lessons and how to be like God. Okay? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he's called us to something. All right? Whereby are given. Now given, that's a gift. He said in the book of Acts, it says, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. Because the promises to you and your children, them that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But you got to remember, it says repent. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All right? For the remission of your sins. And then you shall receive the gift. So there's a process there. But what's Peter saying? Whereby are given unto us exceeding. See, there's another adjective that's saying God's going to give you this stuff, and he's not just going to give it to you in a little bitty teacup measure. We got to come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. A man walking with all the virtues in their life, he's a statue of God walking on the earth. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. All right? We're going to partake of something. We're going to be partakers of the divine nature of God. All right? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, see, you got to have all that before you get this. And besides this, in other words, I've told you what to get. Get born again. Get the new birth. Be born again. Have the faith of God for what you need at your level of understanding. Have the faith of God, and then besides that, add to your faith. See, this is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 adds. In the Bible, there's only 7. Add to your faith. So this is your faith. God give me the Holy Ghost. It's mine, Brother Roger. It's not his anymore. It's mine. He give it to me. So it's mine. He's not an Indian giver. He don't want it back. He wants to give it more than you want it, actually. So have faith. And add to your faith 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Add to your faith. All right? Now you see this where it says Holy Spirit? That's not the new birth right there. You say, oh, well, now wait a minute. Paul says, I die daily. This man we call Peter says being born again. Look that word being up. Ongoing process. Sure, you have one major birth that cleans you out, gets rid of the old nature, but then God wants to completely fill you, and he just keeps filling. We can't stand it as humans, so he knows that. So he's not going to give it all to us at one time. Right? We get it in stages. Just like that baby, we talked about the baby. That baby over there, she's got every faculty she needs. Little Jonas has got every faculty he needs to drive a car. He's not going to gain any new parts to be able to drive a car, but now you're going to let him drive a car? No, why? He hasn't come to the knowledge of being able or mature enough, but he's got everything he needs. He's a human. He's got a body, a spirit, and a soul. He's got everything he needs. He can go out there and get in the car and sit down and hold on to the steering wheel. But he's not fully developed. That's the same way with you and I. We're not a fully developed Christian. You just begin your journey when you're born again. That's just when God starts really dealing with you and really wanting to use you. Remember, the Bible says God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. So he's not going to use something that's not clean. But once it's clean, he can start filling the jar up and turning it on. Keep reminding me. I'm keep postponing this thing. Thank you. I saw you raise your hand. All right, thank you. So does anybody have any questions with that? We've got to start besides this. Peter says besides all this, besides all verse 1 through 4. You've escaped the corruption of the world through lust. We still have problems. We still have everyday life that we got to deal with. But besides this, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. That means it's not going to just be given to you just because you wake up in the morning and you're alive. No, you got to, let me see if I can remember the scripture. The scripture says the kingdom of God is taken by force. When Joshua went into the promised land, the Amalekites and all those Ites didn't just move back and say, oh, Joshua, no. He fought for every inch of ground. So even typing the new birth going over into the promised land, as Joshua took the promised land, there was still Ites in there. Television Ites and all these Ites that we got now, all these things that we put in front of God. You can put every Ite you want to. Hunting Ites, fishing Ites. Laidites. At least we have an example. Okay. But you see what I'm talking about? Joshua, when he went into promised land, that's what he had to do. He had to fight for that ground. And then when he got into the land and fought the ground, pushed the people back, then he took his people, and what did he do? He positionally placed them where they needed to go. Speaking of another layer or another work of the Holy Ghost, which is adoption. Adoption is placing you where you need to go. He was able to put Dan and Ephraim and all the ones where they needed to go. All right, but there was still in the land, he had to fight for it. So you and I, he that overcometh. It don't say he that just shows up. This is not a, it's not just he that shows up. He that overcometh. All the things we need in the Bible to defeat Satan is not something you take to a picnic. You take forks and spoons and knives to a picnic. We're going to a battle. Swords, word, shield, helmet of righteousness, all these things. All right, so it's a battle, and that's what this is. This is, like Brother Keith Reed always says, these are life lessons. These are things that we learn in life. And that's why that Peter came to this position, and he said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. See, he made it personal. He said, don't add to God's faith. God already got faith. God is faith. He's just wanting you to have faith in him. All right? But when he gives you something, it's a gift. Add to your faith. In other words, listen, add to what you believe, virtue. Add to what you believe, knowledge. Add to what you believe, temperance. All right? You got it? What you believe. If you don't believe you got it, you can't ever have it. How are you going to get something you can't believe in? You got to believe. He that believeth unto. Right? Believeth. That TH has got a lot of meaning to it because it's an ongoing process. All right? Add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, I like this verse 8. For if these things be on you, oh, what did it say? In you, not on you. There's a difference. The devil can anoint you. Come on. The devil can anoint you because he was the anointed cherub. Now that anointing didn't come off of him. He still got that anointing. He's going to be destroyed one day, but he's not one of these. He's not a drunk and a thief and a whore. Come on, let's just be plain. He's sitting in this building today. Came with you, but hopefully not in you. But he came around you. He's right here. He's here. Just think in your human mind for a few minutes. He's here. But you got to remember, this rightly divides, the Bible says, the word of truth. So you know what's truth and what's error. Okay? And this faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience is drawing you closer to God and further away from him. Because there's people that you want to be around in the world. Really, honestly, there's people like businessmen that I like to draw virtue from that may not even be born again. But I draw strength of being able to handle finances or do things right or do the right thing. But now as far as my salvation, I know where to separate that. That man's not giving me salvation just because he's helping me with my finances. No, that's just life lessons. But I know where to come on Sunday and on Wednesday to get the real life lesson. Then I can put the ones together. Right? I mean, we don't just haphazardly go through life. There's a way to do this. Because it says right here, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. He's given it to us. But now remember, somebody gives you a gift, you got to take it. Or you can reject it. That's right. I mean, somebody gives you a gift, you can say, no, I don't want that. Right? But if you receive it, like this tree says, then you open it, it's yours. So whatever's in there is yours. So God's give us a gift. He said, here, if you want this gift, it's here. Open it if you want to. Because remember, God is not going to go over your free moral agency. Out of these things, for if these things be in you and abound, not just be in you, but abound. I mean heaping. Abound means that when you get a bountiful crop, that don't mean you get four potatoes, you get 4,000 potatoes. That's a bountiful crop. If these things be in you and abound, they make you. Now, I like that word make because you know what? It's just like me making my kids do something. If they've done all this, it'll make you do this. It'll make you be this kind of a person. It'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there, as we go through life, take these life lessons and all the things that we're doing in life, if you take that, you take that with you, you will neither be barren or unfruitful. Not only just in finances, not only just in being a good person, but all we're talking about, like what we were talking about last night, we have come to a place to where we can be the full stature of God. Has not been anywhere other, any other time. The full stature of God, it's a requirement in this age to do that. Yes, absolutely. Right. Because what is a barren tree? It's an idle tree. It's a tree that's idle. It's just not doing anything. Right. So that's barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Now if you look that word up, blind, it's gross darkness. That's not just blind physically. You can be blind physically and be enlightened spiritually. But if you're blind spiritually, I don't care if you got 20/20 vision or 10/10 vision. Sorry. And cannot see afar off, in other words, revelation, afar off, and hath forgotten. Have we forgotten? Now, this is written to Christians, people. This is not written to the world, remember. This is written to Christians. Because I wrote in my Bible, still talking to Christians. Because Peter hadn't forgot his thought. He kept his thought going all the way through. He's the one that had like precious faith and the ones that are in the body of Christ. Don't fall into gross darkness. You say, can I? Yeah, you can do that. You can blind yourself from the rest of the word. You can. If you're idle. Right. If you're idle or I-D-O-L, either one, or I-D-L-E. Because if you're I-D-L-E, you've got an I-D-O-L. Okay? Everybody understand that? If you're I-D-L-E, you got an I-D-O-L. If you're idol, you've got an idol. That you're worshiping something you're worshiping besides God. All right? Thank you, Sister Trudy. That was good. Where was I? I had forgotten. Yeah, sometimes we forget where we come from. Come on, people. We forgot where God brought us to. Or from. All right? And that forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Sometimes we forget that. That's why it says being born again. Paul says, I die daily. Well, Paul didn't die going to grave. No, he meant the old nature man had to die. Now, he was a prophet, a guy that wrote the word of God, that God wrote the word through, right? And he still had to die? How much more you and I? Okay. The Bible even said Jesus learned by the things he suffered and being made perfect. Being made perfect. All right. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again. Look how much Peter is pressing. He's pressing. You've got to do this. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I wrote promise in my Bible right here. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, what the prescription of the doctor give you, if you do these things, Dr. Peter said, if you do all these that I tell you to do, you'll never fall. That's what the Bible says. You'll never fall if you'll do these things. But don't start complaining that God don't fulfill this and we hadn't got those, the virtues. Because Peter says, after all this, if you'll do this prescription, take it just like I said, take this pill every day, take this certain virtue every day, knowledge every day, temperance every day, learn from God every day, then you shall never fall. But our problem is we don't do the total prescription, and somewhere in the line we fall. But that's okay. That's why this thing called grace. My grace is sufficient. Jesus' grace is sufficient. But now if we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and 5 years later we're still doing the same thing, you ain't got, that's not dead yet. You're just putting it over in a closet till you need it again, then you open the door and pull it back out. But if it's dead, it's gone. We don't believe in the resurrection of old junk. We believe in resurrection and newness of life is what Scripture says. We plant them in corruption, we raise them in incorruption. All right? So we're going to plant all these dead natures that we got. That's what we got to do. We got to plant, we got to bury them. Not to be brought back again. That's why I love when God told Moses, said, Moses, tell these people this. That if you walk out in that water and you put the stick down, the Red Sea apart, when you get across there, you tell them that those Egyptians that they saw today, they will never see no more. Now that makes me feel good. But now what did the people do? They did exactly what Moses told them. So when Moses got on the other side and the water come together and killed all those Egyptians, which is a type of the things that we need to get rid of, coming out of Egypt, come out of her, my people, Revelation 19. Come out of her, what? The old system, her, church. Same thing with Moses. He was bringing his people, out, God's people, out of the world into the promised land. And he said, those Egyptians you see this day, that you saw this day, you'll never see them again. They're dead. We've had people go and pass on. We're not going to see them again until the resurrection. But that's just an example. But, you know, you don't go put somebody in the ground and 2 days later you see them again. No. When something's dead, it's dead. Same thing with our old nature. When it's dead. And you'll know it's dead. You know why? Because you won't see it no more. Oh, he may come and try to bring it to you. Remember the devil. He's a master at this. So if he can't get you this way, he's just going to take and go right around the mountain and come in from the backside. So be careful. Just keep that shield up and make sure that when he does come, powerful scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's pretty powerful, but it's a very small scripture and we sometimes don't use it. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. We're going to start now talk on faith. I want to read this quote here, though. We've read it again from the Statue of a Perfect Man in 1962 while you're turning. Hebrews 11:1. Brother Branham said, that's the way it is with Christ. You've got to be so in love with him to when we ask for something and he doesn't give it to us, that doesn't shake us a bit. Remember, I've always said, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Because if he says yes, he knows you the end from the beginning. Right? So if he says yes, then you're pretty much okay. If he says no, then you know to forget going down that path. If you're a son and daughter of God, if he says no, it's for your good. All right? See why? And the only way we can do that, the only way, look, the only thing, is because a baby will go what? Why, daddy, why, mama, why? You hear it? Remember? And I said so means a lot, but that's what God said. He says, I said so, that's why. That's why we always say, well, we said so. But if you really sat down and broke it down and explained it to the kid, which is not going to understand at that point, but later on they will, sat down and explain to him why. I've always wanted somebody to explain to me the why. If I'm doing something wrong, don't just say you're wrong. No, I want somebody to explain to me why I'm doing it wrong, because you know what? I may do it again, but if you explain to me that it's wrong, I'll know what the wrong is and I'll quit doing it. Now that's what he done. That's what God's done every Sunday, every Wednesday. That's what he's doing. He's telling us you're wrong, and this is where you're wrong, and this is how to correct it. What a loving father. That's what he's doing. Because we've got the wrong nature to start with. We got the wrong thinking, we were born wrong, remember? Born anti-word. We weren't supposed to come this way. All right? We're supposed to be spoken seed children of God, not come from the loins of a man. And the only way we can do that is to become partakers of his divine nature. Then you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you. See? You'll understand. In other words, he'll explain. He's already explained what you're doing wrong. This is why. And then he brings a preacher or teacher or a brother or sister in the Lord to kind of just get beside of you and say, hey, this is kind of why that, this is my experience. And this is what the Lord showed me. Because that's what a preacher's doing. You're pulling on his gift. And see, so many, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say, I'll say it till the day we get out of here. Preachers should be servants. Song leaders should be servants. Not no. We're there to serve you. And if you want something out of the service, have a need. You have a need and a want, that's fine. But you bring that need before God, and I'll guarantee you he'll put a preacher in the pulpit. How many times have we done something down here, and me not finish it, and Daddy finish it upstairs, and me and Dad don't talk about services together because I don't want to pull him away from this, and he don't want to pull me away from that, so we don't talk about what we're going to preach. But many times, and that's to me the virtues being shown working in you because you did it. I didn't do it. I'm not saying I did it. No. You did it. You had that thought in your mind heading upstairs. And then when you got up there and sat down, Daddy may not have been going to say that 10 minutes of what we talked about down here. But God brings him right over because you do that. You do it. He doesn't do it, and I don't do it.
Same thing happens in Bible
study. Oh, absolutely. No doubt. Yeah, in Bible study is the same way. So that's why Peter says we can be partakers of this divine nature. Because you know what? If you're born again and I'm born again, to a degree, we have the same nature. Should be a godly nature. Now, I like hunting and fishing and don't care a thing about cars. And Donnie cares about cars, don't care a thing about fishing. That don't mean, that's just human nature. Human nature. But see, we agree on the word and we're not conflicting when it comes to the word. So see, he can pull from me and I can pull from him. Same way with here. And I'm going to say it again. We're servants. There's no great ones among us. I love Brother Claude. He always mentions that. And it's true. There's no great preachers. Great congregations make great preachers. It's true. Great congregations make great preachers. You know, Brother Branham, you know what he said? He said, if the will of the people was that the preacher preach a Trinity, right? Then that's what the preacher preaches. Right? Well, I'd leave. I'm not preaching the Trinity. No such thing in the Bible. But that's the will of the people. So we're nothing but we're just a conduit to where I can spark something. God says, hey, Brother Ray needs something. But I'm not going to speak directly to Brother Ray. Because he may not know it's me. Now, I'm just being carnal with this. He may not know it's me. Okay? But if you put a preacher up there that's preached what's on your mind all week, and you hadn't talked to the preacher, now, you got to believe that the preacher caught the Spirit from God. Right? And then that's what was brought. So he's just a conduit. God's wanting to bring you something, and he says, okay, I'm going to bring it right through here. And how much more do you rejoice? Same way here. When we rejoice here, when we go upstairs and I don't finish a statement or somebody has a question in your mind and you don't even ask me the question. You just say, boy, I wish he'd cover that better. I have a question about that. Go right upstairs and Daddy covers the whole thing.
God spoke to me this morning through a sister with a problem I had last night about believing about
the Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good. See there? Sure. Hey, this is not just for the men. Now, for what happened in the Garden of Eden, we'll not go back to all that, but we know that Eve fell from the Word of God by believing Satan's lie, right? So a woman cannot preach. But now before that, man and woman was equal. But the double covenant was, the second covenant that came in, God said, no, from now on you'll be under headship. You'll be under your husband, and because of what you did, and listen to the serpent, because of what you did, you can't preach anymore. Now you say, brother, that ain't in the Bible. No, it's all the way through the Bible. Woman, and let me just be plain with this. I want to explain something to you. There was somebody asked Brother Jim Pinkston, said, well, Well, why can't a woman preach? He said, well, the Bible's full of a man being subject to the wife because of what happened in the garden. She can teach, and she can teach a Sunday school class, and she can be a help just like the sister was there, but not a conduit from God because of the double covenant. The man's here, the woman's here. That's just the way it is. Now, we're going to be restored back when we get over there, all right? Okay, but, if you want to go to the Levitical priesthood, when you take the Levites, when you take a female in the Old Testament, they couldn't enter the temple for the 7-day period of their uncleanness. You women understand what I'm talking about? Your period that you have every month. You couldn't go in a congregation because you were unclean. Now, that's a type. And that's what Brother Pinson said. Well, what does your preacher do? He said, what does she do? You know, Brother Jim, he's just big mouth like me. He said, what does your pastor do when she has that time of the month? He said, the Bible says she ain't supposed to be in church. Yeah, he's a lawyer. But I don't know how we got on that. But look, it's headship, though. Christ is our head. And then we're supposed to be in the body. We're supposed to hear from him. But then God give us a ministry to give it to you. And then you have a part in this where, like I said, we're not the great one. We're servants. We serve. Song leaders, you're supposed to serve. You're supposed to serve what the people want, not what you want. Right? You're supposed to feel the leading of the Lord and do what the Lord leads. And if we'll do that, we'll have a better time with it. Let's read Hebrews 11, and then we're going to give you this point, and then we'll go. Chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. That word substance means actual existence. All right? So now faith is the actual existence of things hoped for. The fish can't have fins and swim in the water unless there's water. There's got to be water there, right? You can't have a desire for a steak if there's no such thing as a steak. Same thing. As far as our desires, there's got to be a substance there. So the substance is the Holy Ghost. To me, that's the most important thing is the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost and you'll either, it says it is the earnest of your inheritance. Like I said, with the ocean. Ocean's full of 90 different elements. If you take one little speck, one drop of water from the ocean and put it on this table, you've got the same 90 elements as the water in the ocean. That is the water in the ocean. That's not a substitute. That is the substance. But there's a whole ocean of water out there. But to have a substance of the ocean, then you have the ocean. Right? You have the ocean. If you've got those 90 elements, so if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got everything God wants to give you. But what happens? Our flues get stopped up. We stop God. You say, stop God? Yes, sir, you will. Yes, ma'am, you will. You will stop God. How many have ever stopped God? Oh, 100%. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure I was on the right track here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. How many of you have seen Jesus in flesh? Literally in his corporal body. Hold your shin out there just a little bit further. Literally in flesh, how many of you seen Jesus? How many of you seen him die on the cross? So what do we got to do? We got to have faith. That there was a Jesus. And that he did die on the cross. We never saw it physically. So faith is the substance. But we know what happened because the substance is there. We can believe that. He did it. He died in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, the Bible said. But he had to literally bring that to pass on the earth so we could believe things that we don't see. But is it a substance? Absolutely. Absolutely. If he didn't die on that cross and if he wasn't here 2,000 years ago, we're just yakking. our lips off for no reason at all. But we got to believe that that's who he was and that he said what he's going to do. Were you there when they wrote this? Nope. But we're living it right now. And we do see God in human flesh now, but he's in our flesh. All right, let's go. Faith. Remember, talk about faith next Sunday.
Work on your faith this week.